Next Step 131, December 9, 2010.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. With these podcasts, Father Vazquez provides a very distinct and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on Apple iTunes or at epostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. Whether you're listening on CD, over the internet, or on your MP3 player, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Voskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about spirituality. Well, it's a podcast about just about everything. Look at life through the ancient lenses of Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up in a new manner. We call that Armodoxy, and we invite you to go along for the ride. This podcast is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission, and is brought to you by the good folks at epostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an expanding and, dare we say, electronic universe. Hey, if you're ready, let's take the next step. Who is that person running? It's enough to sip my coffee, isn't it? Yes, whether you are running with us today, if you're a lifetime next stepper, or you're walking with us today, or you're crawling if it's your first step with us today, we want to welcome you. We have a great show in store for you today, and it's all happening because I know we're running really late. You're probably going to get this on a late thing, but it has been an exciting morning. And I just got off the phone with one of our listeners out in New York, Janine. Great call, because we were talking about the purpose of religion and how religion plays in. And you know, there is this like mentality that somehow when you talk about religion, you're supposed to check in your brain at the door. You know, I love that expression because I think it's from all the zombie movies I've watched all my life. You can kind of like picture checking in your brain at the door. But, you know, that's really what a lot of times when people talk about religion, it's like they think that there's an absence of reason, or that we're talking about something pie in the sky, something that has no tie with reality. I'd like you to tell that to someone like a Mother Teresa, or how about to Martin Luther King Jr.? How about to Mahatma Gandhi? How about to Cesar Chavez? How about telling these people that religion has nothing to do with reality when they use the very tools that religion had given them? And yeah, you know, one of the reasons I'm running late right now is I had to answer some Facebook commentary going on. It really strikes a chord with me because, you know, all of my life, I know I've fought against this whole idea about that religion is this negative reality, because so many times you see, and I'm going to use this word, and I hope you're with me on it, I see kooks. What is a kook? Where did that word come from? How do you spell that, huh? C-O-O-K, isn't that cook? That's cook, right? How do you spell kook? Anyway, a kook, you know, do you know what a kook is? It's like these weirdos. And so many times people who are spiritual, people who are religious, get thrown into these kook categories. Well, why? Because there are so many kooks. They get taken away by abstract ideas that have nothing to do with reality. It's like people claiming that, you know, they speak in tongues, and then they go, oh, well, it's biblical. Where is it biblical? Where is it biblical? Just because you tell me it's biblical? I mean, specifically in the book of Acts, it said the apostles spoke in tongues, each to each one in their own language. It wasn't just some made-up uttering or words or noises. It was a language. It was a way of communicating. It was a purpose. There was a rhyme to the reason. And you can't keep thinking that, you know, religion is like pie in the sky and it's all about things. No, it has to do with reality. And yes, I know religion has screwed up a lot of stuff, but those are usually reflections, what, of the purity of the thought? No, they are reflections of our understanding. Okay? You think about what Jesus came and said, and this is really where we go here on this podcast, if this is one of your first podcasts with us. When we talk about armadoxy, I mean, think about this. Think about this, okay? Jesus had a simple message to love one another. This message was brought to Armenia, one of the smallest landlocked countries. Armenia receives this message, and there it is. It's sitting at the crossroads of three continents between Europe, Asia, and Africa. And every barbarian, every wild person that you could imagine has stomped through this land. It's seen wars, it's seen devastation, rape, pillage, it's even seen genocide. It's never had any military power, it's never had any military strategy. And yet, it has not only survived, but it has produced. It has produced people that have been able to become leaders. People who have taken life by the horns and have steered that life in positive directions. So what is it? If you don't have the military, which everybody tells you, you need a military to govern, to do your things. What is it that has kept them alive? What is it that has kept them going? Well, I want to believe that it's this power of love, unconditional love, the power that was given to them, the Armenian Orthodoxy. What St. Gregory the Illuminator says, "Iskmek paravores sukvar harachkanas havidianas." And we repeat it every Sunday in the Divine Liturgy. As for us, we will glorify that which was from the beginning of time. So we're not talking about a set of understanding or principles given to us by humans, but something from the beginning of time. Just interestingly enough, this morning, I told you, it's been a wild morning this morning. Got off the phone with Janine. Before that, I was with my friend Greg. And here's a man from the Buddhist tradition, actually. And we were talking about quite a bit of projects that are underway. We're trying to put together a few big projects, which we hope we'll be able to introduce to you through the In Issues Ministry. And he turned to me and he said something. He said, "I don't know what you call it." He says, "I call it universe. You call it God." And he continued to talk about what we were talking about. Something completely different. I mean, this happened in a conversation. But it got me to thinking about what? Remember that little point I brought up last week? The idea that last week, scientists told us that the universe was much bigger than they had expected, to the tune of something like 2 or 3 sextillion, perhaps a septillion more stars than they had ever imagined. And so when Greg said that, "You call it God, I call it universe," I thought for a moment, yeah, you know, remember what I said last week? The universe hasn't changed. Our perception of that universe has changed, right? We have become different people. The constancy of the universe is still there. Wasn't that true about God too? God is a constant. God is all-encompassing, is all around. And now what scientists are telling us, perhaps the universe is infinite. Well, what have we been saying since day one? God is infinite. And so when you're in that reality of it, whether you call it a universe, you call it God, you call it the divine, you're talking about something that is all-consuming, that is all around, and it is what Jesus said in his words. The kingdom of God is within you and without you. It's outside of you, yes, and at the same time it's within you, because you are a part of that reality. That reality of the universe, of God. Now this is very powerful. It's something that ancient Armenians were able to grab onto. And despite the lack of all kinds of military and strategies and everything, they were able to move forward. They were able to withstand. Because difficulties will abound. They will come up in every life. I've been a priest for 30 years. I'll tell you something. I've been in the houses of rich people as well as poor people. I've been in the houses of very different people from different walks of life. I'll tell you one thing. One thing that all these houses have in common. They all have pain. They all have suffering. They all have some kind of difficulty. And it's up to the person to be able to confront that difficulty. And so when you're given the tools of love, of faith, of hope, you have that ability to conquer. We're going to be talking about that today. We're going to be looking at the life of John Lennon in a few minutes. We're going to be talking about some of the feedback that we got from last week. In fact, we've got a little surprise for you, too. We're going to have a little guest commentary in there, too, with somebody who got stuck in an awful snowstorm and was able to listen to The Next Step. And that's coming up in a few minutes. We've got Ani with her bubbles again today. She's got a new bubble for us. That's coming up in a few minutes. Hey, we start off every show with a song of the day. Today being no different, we will kick it up. Today I'm going to play for you a song called Sirdim Sasanin. And it comes off of the seminarian album prepared at Lake Sevan. There is a seminary there called the Vazgenyan Seminary. It is named after the late Catholicos of all Armenians, Vazgen I. And the seminary produces a new crop of priests every year. And I believe this year something like between 50 to 70 seminarians will be graduating. I mean, you could tell after communism, Armenia needed priests and they are just pumping them out. Just an excellent education over there, but also they get training in the ancient rituals. Now, remember last week I shared with you the idea that it's not necessary to separate love into the three fields that we're accustomed to, right? We know about eros, we know about filial love, about agape. Okay, and I said that, you know, you could listen to something like a Beethoven's Fifth and really find all aspects of love in those two, in the melody, in the concert of different instruments coming together and uniting in this concert. And some of you took exception with that. I got an interesting email from our listener, one of our listeners, I want to hope, in St. Petersburg. And he took exception with that. He says, no, these ideas of the three loves. In fact, he even quoted C.S. Lewis's work on the four types of love. And, you know, I appreciate the comments. Well, I'm not trying to get into a theological argument right now, but what I'm trying to challenge you is to look beyond the words, look beyond the limitations that we impose upon ourselves. Okay, religion, it brings a set of norms, a set of understanding that we might get from our culture, from what the way we understand everything. And music really gives us this opportunity to let loose. So do that right now. Listen to this song right now. In fact, if you can, close your eyes. Now, of course, if you're driving, do not close your eyes. Okay, here's the disclaimer. If you're driving, please do not close your eyes. I said it, so I don't want any insurance notices coming on my desk this week and saying that, hey, you told your people to close their eyes while they're driving. No, if you're listening to this podcast in the car, keep your eyes open. There. But for the rest of you, close your eyes for a few moments. Listen to this beautiful song, Amen Hayrsur. Amen. Amen Hayr Surp is the name of that song. It is off of the album Ortniale Astvads by the Vazgenian Seminaries at Lake Sevan. That was prepared in 2009. Now, if you had a chance to just really be taken by the tune, was it necessary to understand each word? Was it necessary to understand any of the words to understand where that song took you, where it took your soul? I think this is one of the big things that we need to tune ourselves into. That, you know, God is beyond. When we talk about God being infinite, the universe being infinite or so huge, you know, you can't define him with the small bit of information that our brains are able to process, because really the infinite is much, much bigger. Think about a Google search. I mean, you're looking at something like, what's the figure they have? Something like 80 billion pages out there, and it's searching all this, right? Well, how does it do it? It processes it. Now, and it gets it to your desktop in a few seconds. Imagine how powerful that is. But that's finite, isn't it? That's finite. Imagine the power of a Google search and how it gets you the information that you want so quickly, right? And that's finite. When we're talking about God, we're talking about infinite. And so how can you possibly try to express that in words, in human understanding, right? How can you possibly express infinite? I mean, think about it for a moment. When the author of the book of Ecclesiasticus, Sirach, he writes, he says, though we try as we might to find the words, how shall we express him? For he is greater. God is greater than all of his works. It's like in mathematics or in calculus, you get a set of numbers and you have another set of numbers. And where do they intersect? And you have a new set of numbers. Now imagine all of these sets of numbers and reality, and God is greater. It's the greater than sign against these set of numbers. And no matter what you do, you always keep running across the problem of how do you understand, how do you express your feelings about something that is unexpressible. And so music gives us an opportunity really to go down into the soul. And so in this song right now, it wasn't necessary to understand the words to understand that something spiritual was happening, right? And if you can close your eyes for a few moments, as you listen to a tune like that, what do you feel? You feel the expressions of faith, hope, and the most important of these, love. And that's why I was challenging you, really, don't be so quick in categorizing love. I think this is it's a bad thing that we picked up from the Greeks. You know, this idea that there are different types of love. We talk about erotic love, about the love of lust, of what a husband and a wife might share together. We talk about filial love, that brotherly love that you may feel towards someone you care about, a brother, a sister, a neighbor, a friend, okay? And we talk about agape, God's love, which is infinite. Now, put it all together, if you really think about it, the agape love has to encompass all of the other types of love. And so when you get down to it, there is really one love that Jesus Christ calls us to share. He says, love one another. By this they will know that you are my children. So when you talk about Christianity, what is a Christian? There is only one standard by which you can judge a person. Or more than the word judge, I shouldn't have used that so freely. More than the word judge is by which you define a person as a Christian. And that is his capacity to love, his ability to love, her ability to take on the challenges of the day and say that I am conquering it with the power of love. You want to understand the infinite. You think it's impossible? Well, not really. You see, God has given you the key. It's called love. And it's inside of you. It's what Jesus says. It's inside of you and at the same time outside of you. Yes, God is all around. Love is all around. Love is in your heart. Don't be scared to express it. Express that love. And you'll find that in that expression, God is revealed. You find a key to what is unimaginable. You find a way of understanding the understandable. You find a way of being one with the universe, with God, with the love. As St. John says, God is love. And so if he says that and you understand this whole idea that if A equals B and B equals C, therefore A equals C, right? Isn't that just the precept of mathematics, right? I mean, it just follows, right? A equals B, B equals C, therefore A has to equal C. So if God is love and God is infinite, therefore love is infinite. Therefore, you want to understand God. You want a little bit of God inside of you. You want to be a child of God. All you really need is love.
Peace on earth. Can it be? Years from now, perhaps we'll see. Our see the day of glory. See the day.
You know, it seems like that message could never be said enough. All you need is love. And of course, there was a very famous group here in the United States, and it came to us from a place called England, like I think a lot of good things come from. I'm saying that for our English audience out there, our Brits out there. But you know what I'm talking about. This week marked the 30th anniversary of a tragic killing, a tragic death, the death of John Lennon, who had made it a mantra, really, with the Beatles, all you need is love. I do want to share some ideas about that, some thoughts more than ideas, because it is one of those moments that you remember. No matter where you may be on the political spectrum, where you may be age-wise, I know many of our listeners, probably this is like ancient history. And I love that little duet that Bing Crosby and David Bowie do. If you get a chance, check out the entire thing. It's on YouTube. You could check it out. I think there's such a cute little moment at the beginning where Bing Crosby turns to David Bowie and he says, "Do you ever listen to any of the older people?" David Bowie says, "Oh yeah." He says, "I listen to a lot of older music, old timers. He says, "Like John Lennon." And that kind of dates us. Yeah. Anyway, John Lennon, 30 years ago. Tragically, brutally killed. I'm going to just share some ideas because, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, very turbulent times here in the United States. And I remember growing up, and you got to put together a series of murders, of assassinations. I mean, beginning with the President of the United States back in 1963. It was in November, and anybody who was alive at that time exactly remembers where they were when the news came that President John Kennedy had been assassinated. And it was only a few years later that his brother Robert Kennedy was assassinated. There was the Vietnam War going on, a group of assassinations, basically, which nobody really understood what the purpose of that war was all about. On top of that, we had the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King. Here was a man who was talking about peace, and in its place, he received a bullet. And then you had a president who resigned, and basically all of the things that we had come to expect and understand as stable had crumbled. And there it was that December evening, 1980, I'll never forget hearing that John Lennon had had been shot. And the incongruity of a man who had talked about all you need is love, give peace a chance. I mean, you don't expect someone like that to be shot, brutally shot and killed. And I guess it goes back to another person who, 2,000 years ago, all he spread was love. Love your enemy, he in fact said. And he said, care for one another. And in return for that love, he was hung on a tree. He was put on this cross and crucified brutally. And you realize that, you know, in life, there are so many instances where there aren't answers. Why? Why does this happen? Why do these things take place? Why is there unfairness? Why is there injustice? And it's very easy to get caught up in that moment and take that all upon yourself and say that, well, it is just a lousy world. The world is just lousy, and look at it. Since the time of Christ, you look at religions, you look at people coming into the world, killing one another. They invented gunpowder, and instead of doing something good, they're out there shooting people, John Lennon dying on the streets of New York, so on and so on. And you can curse life because it is very unfair. In fact, life is full of injustices, and these kind of stories, whether it's about John Lennon or something about our Lord Jesus Christ, give us an opportunity to really think about that injustice on a grand scale. And as you look at that, you have to imagine yourself as part of a solution. I don't want to be pretentious. You can't say the solution, but a solution. And it begins with each of us. Really, it begins with a very simple thing that, yes, all you need is love. But in order to love someone, you first have to understand that person. You need to be able to care for that person. What did God do in loving us as our creator? He stepped down and became human. He took human flesh to understand our pain. He walked in our shoes. And we too need to understand the pain of others. You need to walk in the shoes of others. And this invitation is really something that comes to us from Scripture. It comes to us from old time, from ancient time, and it comes to us again. That we need to very basically understand one another. We need to love one another. And this begins where? First of all, in our hearts. That's why when John Lennon says, imagine there is no heaven, imagine there is no religion, imagine there is no country. In other words, imagine, first of all, nothing to really fight for, nothing to kill for. Imagine a life. And what is that imagination but the dream that we have in our hearts? Dream. Never lose the power to dream. And never feel like you have to check your brain in at the door to be religious, to be spiritual. God has given you a brain. God has given you imagination. God has given you that power to dream of things that may seem impossible. Love, peace on earth. These may seem unattainable, but they are attainable when we realize that God is within us. God is around us. And we are created in the image of God to do the work of God. And so each of us coming together, holding hands, putting our feet in the shoes of others, feeling their pain, can extend ourselves, can look beyond ourselves, and really bring about the dreams that so many people dreamed of, the images that so many people imagined, and the love that all of us need. Well, the harpist has moved into the studio, pushing me aside, telling me and all of us it's time for Ani's Bubbles. Here she is.
The most important lesson, today's spiritual bubble. During the second month of nursing school, our professor gave us a pop quiz. I was a conscientious student and had breezed through the questions until I read the last one. What is the first name of the woman who cleans the school? Surely, this is some kind of joke, right? I had seen the cleaning woman several times. She was tall, dark-haired, in her 50s, but how would I know her name? I handed in my paper, leaving the last question blank. Just before class ended, one student asked if the last question would count toward our quiz grade. Absolutely, said the professor. In your careers, you will meet many people. All of them are significant. They deserve your attention and your care, even if all you do is smile and say hello. I have never forgotten that lesson. I've also learned and never forgotten that her name was Dorothy. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Spiritual bubbles do float, don't they? Oh, you know, I love blowing those small little soap bubbles, and they take my mind up. You know, I love watching them go up and out. And you think that they're going to get to the clouds. Well, Ani's spiritual bubbles do get up there. You know, I mean, they're pretty profound. Thank you, Ani, for today's installment. I love it. We got actually quite a bit of email from last week's Next Step. It was interesting because I guess we ruffled a few feathers. Is that the expression? What does that mean? Huh? Like the birds are ruffling around or something? Oh, okay. Okay, I'm getting Ken's telling me. And Ken, by the way, are you back up to your habits? I don't know. Something's fishy today. Anyway, we got a lot of email last week. One in particular struck me because he also sent along a small little audio clip, which we're going to play in just a moment. Before we do that, let's take a small little break. I've got Susie waiting to tell us some exciting news, and then we'll come back. Got a lot more in store for you. Here's Susie.
Are you in the Christmas spirit? At epuzzle.net, you can say we're always in the spirit, and we'd like to share that holiday cheer with you. Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries, reminding you that your generous contributions has launched us to a worldwide audience. The Next Step with Father Vazquez, now in its third year of production, is the voice of Armadoxy on 5 continents. We look forward to your continued support. And as a way of saying thank you to you, our listeners, we'd like to send you the critically acclaimed Spirit album by Gor Mkhitaryan. Produced in 2008 in collaboration with In His Shoes, Gor Mkhitaryan offers folk medleys and powerful poetry to express Armenian spirituality in the 21st century. We'd like to offer this spirit to you. For your tax-deductible donation in any amount, you'll receive this album, which has touched the hearts and souls of a new generation. Please visit our websites, inhisshoes.org or epostle.net, and press on the donate button. It's safe and secure. Or send a check to the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center, 632 West Stalker Street, Glendale, California, 91202. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. Merry Christmas to all. May it be filled with God's abundant blessings for you and your family. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
How come Susie gets all the cool music at this place? Hey, what do we complain to over here, huh? What's going on between you guys? Oh, I don't know. Anyway, it was a great message, and thank you for that wonderful offer. So we're making the Spirit album available, and for any donation, you can actually check out the Spirit album. It's available on our website, inissues.org. You can order several copies as you wish, but we're making it as a way of saying thank you for all of your help, all of your support. We want to send that out to you. But more importantly, we want to get you involved in this dynamic ministry. I know if you go to epostle.net, you see our webcasts, you see our podcasts. We're on now twice a week with live streaming. We have a Armenian language Bible study Monday mornings. We have an English questions and faith Wednesday evenings. We have all of the archives where you could find everything from the beginning of time. And you know, all this costs money. The equipment costs money, the space, the servers, the bandwidth, all of it costs money. Well, you know, I don't need to tell you. But what I do need to tell you is that it requires all of us to really get in there and give our part to it. You know, if you believe in something, you've got to go for it. Jesus tells us the parable of the man who finds the pearl. And when finding that pearl of such great value, he decides to sell everything that he has just so he can acquire that pearl. I did that several years ago when I found the Armenian Church, and I realized that the Armenian Church, its spirituality, its message, its orthodoxy was so pure and so great. It is the pearl that I was searching for and that I found. And at that point, I was willing to put everything up on the line. And I know that so many people, when they get hooked on the next step, Apostle, what we're doing through In His Shoes. I mean, In His Shoes is novel. You get going around April time and they're going to tell you, yeah, we've got a genocide. You've got to remember something that's going on 95 years ago and Armenians want justice. And you get everybody talking about, oh, yeah, well, look, you know, God bless you all for doing all that stuff. But there are genocides taking place right now. There's one taking place in Darfur. Last Sunday, during church services, during the Holy Divine Liturgy, we remembered two individuals who are there right now. They left the comforts of America, Gabriel Starr and KDJ. Together they went. And they are there right now reporting to us from the refugee camps. Whenever I think about the Armenian genocide, I think about, what if there were people like Gabriel and KDJ? What if there were, what was a mission like In His Shoes that thought about us? You know, a few years ago, we were out on the, right on the front line. There's the, that memorable day with Governor Schwarzenegger, with George Clooney, with Don Cheadle. He signed into legislation a divestment of Californian funds from the Sudan. I always say, what if there was an organization like us back in 1915? And America divested itself from Turkey. What if the Turks didn't have the ability to buy the guns, to buy the weapons? What if the Turks weren't able to do genocide? Well, you could go through all these what ifs. I don't know. I'll never know. And no one will ever know what will happen about the past. But I do know about today. And I know once we start walking in the shoes of others, once this ministry feels the pain of others, we have no other solution but to react to it. And that's what we're doing. We want you to be part of it. That's what In His Shoes is all about. Apostle is the voice of it. In His Shoes is the working arms, the legs, the feet. It's all together. But do join us. Visit us at our website and do make a donation. Make it a regular donation. Whether you do it weekly, whether you do it monthly, it's important that there's a steady stream of income coming in so we can really reach out and get to those places that need this message and need our attention.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've gotta go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
So what do you do when it's cold outside? Oh, a lot of things you can do, but one listener shared his experience. Actually, I told you, we got a lot of interesting email last week, and I appreciated all of it. A lot of it was about the thoughts that we shared, but one in particular caught my attention because it talked about a dilemma of being cold outside and how he remedied that, along with a small little surprise he sent us, and I want to share that with you. But first, let me read you the email. It came to us from our listener Harry in the United Kingdom, and it says, "Greetings and many thanks again for a wonderful podcast that I listened to as I was snowed in on the outer perimeters of Edinburgh in Scotland and unable to get back to London. So this uplifting episode alongside Ani's Episcopal bubble," that was the bishop's bubble, right? "managed to engross me for an hour and hopefully longer too. Meanwhile, I share with you a 1 minute 50 second Advent thought of the day that I did for World Vision, United Kingdom. And that will go out tomorrow for reasons you will also discover on the podcast itself. I wish you a pleasant weekend and thank you all again for the vibrant and Armadox ministry as ever Harry. Well, Harry, thank you so much for the kind words. And I'm glad that you passed away the time while being snowed in listening to us. I mean, that is very, very flattering. But the most pleasant surprise, I know we've shared with you Harry's address in previous podcasts. He does a podcast coming out of the United Kingdom, and something very special this time because he shares this podcast that he did for World Vision. And, you know, we partner with World Vision. Once a year, we get together with them and we do the 30-hour famine, raising funds and much-needed funds for food and nourishment for children of genocide. And we partner with them. We have a small little children's adopt-a-child program that Anush runs. And it was just a really nice surprise to know that Harry's plugged in with them. But even more than that, Harry, as an Armenian, he's telling the world through his podcast about the traditions of Advent, along with, well, the Feast of the Day, the two original evangelists who came to Armenia, the first apostles who came to Armenia. Let me say no more. Let me turn it over to Harry. Here he is, all the way from England.
A Thought for Advent with World Vision.
Hisnag is Armenian for Advent. It literally means 50, denoting the 50 days when Armenians prepare for Theophany, or the appearance of God, when the Nativity and Baptism of Jesus are celebrated together in many Orthodox churches on 6th January, according to the old Julian calendar. During this season, Armenians light 7 purple candles, symbolizing the 7 weeks of spiritual preparation and renewal, as well as distribute grain and vegetable soups to the hungry in their communities. But Advent is also the season for looking deep within ourselves to examine if our hearts are open enough to receive Christ, or if, like the Bethlehemites some 2 millennia ago, we have become far too preoccupied with our daily schedules and social engagements to provide any real place for Jesus to be born in our lives. After all, is this not the season that anticipates the second coming of Christ who will redeem our fallen world? But today also happens to be the feast of Saints Thaddeus and Bartholomew, two of Jesus' disciples, known as the first enlighteners, who traveled to Armenia, evangelized the Christian faith, and were eventually martyred for their beliefs. So as we prepare to proclaim glory to the newborn King, let us today also recall those men and women of faith who died to be the visible love of the invisible God in this world. I'm Harry Hagopian, lawyer and church consultant.
A Thought for Advent was brought to you by World Vision. Change a child's life this Christmas by visiting premier.org.uk/worldvision.
Oh, I love it. Thank you, Harry. Thank you for the nice thoughts and all the well wishes. But especially, what a beautiful story that is. To be able to get to a worldwide audience, to be able to pass on this information. Hisnag, the word for Advent, the 50 days, to talk about Thaddeus and Bartholomew coming to Armenia. It is really a very, very special blessing and a ministry. You know, World Vision, I did share with you, World Vision is one that we partner with to do the 30-hour famine. I was very, very interested to find out that when I was in Etchmiadzin a couple of years ago, the bishop of our diocese had sent me there to represent this diocese, and we were looking at many, many different programs that were in place in Etchmiadzin. Interestingly enough, we met with World Vision. Yeah, World Vision, right there in Armenia, in Etchmiadzin, representatives who were presenting a curriculum for the Sunday schools in Armenia. So here is an organization that is actually networking with another organization. You put yourself wherever you want, on the side of those two organizations, wherever you may be. The important thing is, once you start networking, what happens? You're basically interchangeable. It's that A equals B, B equals C, therefore A equals C thing. Keep coming back to that, huh? Anyway, listen. Next week, we're going to be continuing on this journey of Advent. Today, we talked about the idea that love being so powerful, that love is really is the essence of the universality of what God is all about and how we are united in that love. I'm going to push it a little bit more next week when we're going to be talking about how that love expresses itself. And I invite you to read the Gospel of Luke, chapters 12 through 15. You get an idea of some of the parables that Jesus talks about. This week happens to be the parable of the big banquet. And we'll address that in the sermon. We invite you to check out all of the things that are taking place on apostle.net. We have sermons, we have podcasts, we have all kinds of ways that you could connect to Armenian Orthodoxy, and it's there for the taking. Also, I want to invite you to In Issues, because during this period of Advent, it's important to act out. It's not enough to just keep this beautiful faith. Remember the story of the pearl I told you about, where the guy sells everything to acquire that pearl? Well, it's not enough to just take that pearl and stick it in your pocket. You need to be able to display the beauty of that. To display the love that you have in your heart, it's important to reach out to others, whether it's through a food drive during this season, whether it's through a toy drive. In our particular case, we're doing both. On top of it, we're providing blankets for the children of cancer. In all of these, it's important for us to demonstrate our faith. Once in the Gospels, we read that the brothers and mother of Jesus wanted to see him. And the disciples came up to Jesus and said, you know, there's such a big crowd. How are they going to get to you? Your brother and your brothers and your mother are outside. They want to come and see you. And Jesus answers them by saying, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? But those who hear the word of God and do it. Hearing is one thing. Understanding is another thing, but doing is essential. To become part of the Christian family, and I emphasize this because, you know, in the Armenian language, the IAN at the end of our name means the son of or the family of. And so the word Christian means the son of or the family of Christ, Christian. If you want to be a member of Christ's family, the mother, the brother, the sister, there's only one way. Hearing the word of God is one thing. Doing it is the action. And we're all called to that action. Advent is a beautiful time to put our faith into action. Join us at inissues.org. You'll find all kinds of programs which we ask you to participate in and take into your communities. Let people know about this wonderful ministry by passing along the link to inissues.org, apostle.net. Hey, listen, we're at the end of today's podcast. We look forward to seeing you on the net, seeing you in the churches, and being together again next week. For the wonderful crew that puts this podcast together, for Susie, our producer, for Ani with her bubbles, for Ken up in the booth, this is Father Vasquez inviting you to join us again next week when we will take
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience, not valid with any other offer.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.